They kind of mesmerized by that.
Yeah, yeah, it would be educated. It's 5:30, I'll call the meeting to order. First item is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number three is approval of the minutes of May 21st, 2024 meeting. Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Roll call. And I'll vote yes. And the minutes are approved. No, I don't get a vote. I do get a vote. Yes. Item number four is approval of the claims.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion or questions on the claims?
I caught it. I just need to abstain. I agree with the payments, but I just need to abstain because I'm on the
deposit refund.
You're going to abstain on the one item?
On the one item, please.
On the claims, we have roll call. And I'll vote yes. And the claims are approved. Item number five is action to approve the appointment of Jennifer Canham to the Wayne Community Housing Authority Board.
This was Mitzi Kupner Rodriguez's old position. They have, it's all mayoral appointments, and that it's a nice connection through the Housing Authority to have the Community Housing Development Corporation on as well, so that worked well with Mitzi. So Trin McBride, the director of the Housing Authority, called and asked if Jen would have an interest in that. So talked to Jen and Luke, Virgil, and then Kale said that it was a good idea to do that and wondered if it could be a permanent position, but they'd have to change their bylaws for that. Their only permanent position they have is the resident director that they have on site, one of the residents. So that's the only official one they are, the only by nature of their role, I guess. So
do you know when their meetings are?
I think they're like Mondays at first Monday at 9 or something. It's in the morning, so it's during work time for Jen because Jen's a city employee, so that'll just be part of her really job duty being on that board. Don't quote me on the Monday, Tuesday when it actually is, but I think it's like at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
I'll move to approve the appointment of Jennifer Canham to the Wayne Community Housing Authority Board.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Roll call and a vote. Yes. And the appointment has been approved. Item number six is resolution 2024-24, amending the list of fees.
So this is something we periodically do. I don't know if it's annually or every other year or something. Just depends on when we have something that needs that we feel needs to be changed. Everything in your list that is red has been updated. Betty also puts in there when it was last maybe amended. There's some question marks if you want to have some discussion on things. What are the big ones are probably the clearing of snow was $75 an hour. Well, we mow at $300 an hour, so we thought it made sense to let's scoop snow at $300 an hour as well. We don't want to scoop snow. So that one, what other things, Betty, that we should draw their attention to? Prairie Park, yeah, camping.
Yep.
Is being suggested to be set at $35 a day, and that's not effective until the fall because we're not allowing people to camp there yet until grass is established and all that. So
we know, is that kind of in accordance with, I guess, the normal rate around? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, Lowell could answer that, or campers. Yeah, Jason maybe could help with that too.
I just checked around with some of the Nebraska camping fees and stuff, and it all popped up like a lot of the bigger campgrounds around here. And full hookups was $35 was the average across the board for a water, sewer, and electrical.
Which we will have
at Prairie Park, correct?
Yep.
We do, yeah.
But they probably have bathrooms too, you know, right, where we won't have that right away, but.
But there will be sewer, there'll be a dump station or?
Eastland has their own actual sewer for every camper, so they won't have a, go to a dump station anymore.
Okay. Is that normal? Is that normal in a lot of campsites where they have their own hookup for sewer?
Yeah, the nicer ones, and that's why it's 35. I mean, our other ones are just, we charge $15 at Victor Park, but you have to dump your waste. And you have to fill up with water too. See, we don't have water at Victor. We do have water out at Lions Club, but that's still $15 out there to hook up to a hydrant.
With campgrounds that have multiple types of spots, usually minimum 10 to 15 more if it's sewer right at the site. And so I think it's pretty fair in regard to that. Plus, more and more large campers are running their AC nonstop in the summer. I mean, day and night or whatever. And I mean, that does pull a fair amount of electricity or whatever too. So I mean, 35 these days, I think, is a bargain. I paid 70 a night at some places. Of course, it's closer to things, but still, it's pretty, we camp a lot and it seems very fair, I think.
Yeah, that prime spots, right, that you can pay a little extra for it.
Yeah.
And you might get up in the 40s and up in Yankton.
Yeah, and I'd pay 10 or 15 more a night just for that, just because, I mean, especially if you're gonna stay a little while. To pack up everything to go to a dump station is a pain in the butt, unless you have like one of those mobile things, which is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, you're gonna be right along the walking trail, you're gonna overlook the lake and be close to the complex.
Yeah, I think it's perfect.
I think 35 is fair.
Is tent camping allowed there? If I wanted to, somebody wanted to camp, I mean, they could tent camp.
You're talking about that maybe in that, some of those prairie areas to the north of the parking lot? We were thinking about mowing out a section so they could actually just tent camp right there close to the parking lot where you can still park and be close to the lake to fish. And that's something we'll have to address when we get everything seated and see where it's gonna lay out the nicest.
Probably won't be ready for this fall though. That's probably more of a next year type thing.
Spring maybe, or next summer we'd be able to.
And then we'd have to come back with a fee for those. I mean, that'd be probably $20 or something.
Yeah, it'd be cheap.
You have no amenities hardly.
If we're gonna designate an area for tent camping, which means not as camping, but are we planning on like some trees there too? Because, you know, probably gonna want some shade eventually. I know it's gonna be a while, but is that something that we can kind of designate maybe a, you know, an area that's, you know, 50 by 100 feet or something and have some trees for the future, knowing that it's gonna be shaded?
I think once we pick an area, I think we can do whatever we feel would be the best to, you know, make it a permanent.
This area you're talking about does not have any trees.
No, it's wide open.
It's wide open.
Everything's wide open for the next,
I just mean the trees, the 300 trees you guys planted down there.
Yeah.
It's not in this area.
Well, this area hasn't been graded yet.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so next year it'll look a lot different. Once we can see the way the layout is and the parking lot's in, then we can start adding a few more trees to those areas if we know that we want to make that a designated camping area for camping.
And like other campgrounds, I'm assuming if you pitch a tent in one of these full hookup areas, it's still 35.
Yeah, because sometimes they still plug stuff in too.
They do, yeah, okay.
And charge the phone and other
electronics.
That's right. Little heater.
Yeah, right.
Little AC.
AC in tents, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Roughing it.
It's fun.
You have some question marks by the utility deposits, electric, water, and sewer. And I think we should probably raise them a little bit, especially if it's been 11 years. A lot has changed in 11 years. And I just think you put 200 for electric, 100 and 100 for water and sewer. I mean, it's minimal. And it's not like well, I guess it's every time someone moves into a new residence, is that when they get...
So, you want to talk to that, Betty?
What was your question?
So, anytime someone moves into a new apartment?
Right.
House, anything like that, that's when they're going to end up paying this, correct?
But if they...
If they, well, just say they've put down a deposit, but then they move, if they haven't received their deposit back, then that will go with them. So, and after 2 years, they'll get their deposit back if they have a good payment history.
Okay.
If you leave the community, how is that done?
We apply the deposit towards the final bill.
Okay.
And either send them the final bill or else give them a refund if they have a refund.
But if you come back to the community and you were in good standing, do you have to put a deposit down again?
If it's been more than a year.
Okay.
So either way, the city really isn't making money on these deposits because those deposits are being used for either their utility bills or that money gets refunded after a period of time.
Correct.
Unless they don't pay their bill.
Is it usually enough to cover their bill?
Not, you know, when people leave, a lot of times it's not enough to cover their, because they'll have 1 month and then probably half another month or almost a whole month. But...
So we should raise it?
I think so. Just...
What do you think we should raise it to?
Well, we've talked about it, me and Clayton.
200, 100, 100?
Right.
Is there like a good average of a utility bill that it would like cover?
Depends on the house.
The house and how many people.
Yeah, the family. $400 is going to cover a month of utility. I mean, you all know what your bills are. You probably don't. Now, maybe in the summertime, it's a little different if you're irrigating and stuff like that, but... As average? Not gas, don't...
Oh, not, no.
Don't talk about gas.
But when you have sprinklers.
Yeah.
And family of six and...
It's an average.
I like the idea of going to 200.
200, 100, 100.
You too. I think that's fair.
Effective immediately?
Effective immediately, yes. Do we have any other question marks?
I think that was the only one.
Red. Board of Appeals application. There was not one in there before that. There is one for Board of Adjustment, but not Board of Appeals. And we think that's important, or people are going to be appealing more and more things if they don't have to put any skin in the game at all. And then if you win your appeal, you get that feedback. So that's what's being proposed there. Anything else? I don't think there's any...
Otherwise, the majority of changes were under the rental.
Yeah.
Way in the back.
So some of this stuff hasn't been changed since 2013, and I know we've added some equipment. Is this something that you think we should wait until like July 1 to become effective? I don't know. Do we usually go, it's like, yeah, it starts tomorrow when we pass something like this?
On a resolution, typically, yes.
Okay.
But you can delay it if you want. That's your product.
You know, the Freedom Park, or not Freedom Park, Prairie Park thing was effective the fall.
Yeah, unless it's noted. You know, there it's effective fall of 2024 to give us a little wiggle room on what fall means. But everything else would be immediate unless noted otherwise.
Would these items for the activity center still be accurate, like replacement ID cards, key fobs? Are key fobs still $5?
Yes.
Zach would like to, he wanted a little more time to do some price comparison, so he wanted to wait until the next time we do this again.
Okay.
So he would come with some changes. We haven't changed the CAC, we haven't changed the pool for quite a few years. And he felt we should look at that, but he wanted to do some comparison, and he didn't have much time to do that, so he wanted to wait until the next time.
Okay.
As a resolution, this can come back anytime.
Yeah.
So.
Just a update with the times under equipment rental material labor. In parentheses, it says includes man and vehicle. Should we put staff or person instead?
Yep, we should.
I appreciate that.
Good catch.
through, we'll edit that out.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. I'll introduce resolution 2024-24 and move for approval for the noted changes for the list of fees.
Second. Who's second?
I'll second.
Brittany Clayton.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Roll call. And I'll vote yes, and the resolution has passed. Item number seven, resolution 2024-25, identifying City of Wayne goals.
So this is something we do annually. I like to have it done annually, mainly because we put it into the audit, to have that as a record. This time around, we didn't have much short-term goals. It was all more long-term stuff. And you can see on there, there weren't a lot. We got the well, we've got salt shed, adjusting water rates, plans for Old City Hall, and the apartment over the auditorium. That was Matt's suggestion, I think.
Let's say, why is it even on here?
Well, there's a question.
We have a nice space, so we should do something with that.
We do not have a nice space.
It could be a nice space.
And we do not need to do something about it.
This is long-term planning.
It's a space.
We just put up there, it's a goal.
It's a space.
So, you can add, delete anything you want, but it's just...
I'm guessing that's probably a delete. And we could probably take a vote on that. It would probably end up being a delete.
A delete? It's a future, long-term planning.
You know what? It could, if you are so, like, passionate about it, in about 2.5 years, you could add it to the long-term planning. But I don't think, as according to the survey, we're just spending so much money. So I think this is one way that we can cut out a couple hundred thousand dollars of taxpayers' money. So I think this should probably be removed.
It's not going anywhere.
It isn't.
It will still be there.
I think if the auditorium was like, if we had a wedding in there every weekend, we could justify turning that upstairs apartment into like a bridal suite or something, but at this time, I just don't see that being.
I think it would be a great place for some downtown housing, and I think we should encourage housing.
One time, someone falls in the face.
We should encourage downtown housing. Lead by example.
But if we do like what Brittany suggested and make it a bridal suite or something like that, then it's not really downtown housing.
I don't think we should make it a bridal suite for the 4 weekends a year that we, or 4 weekends a month, even if we had it every weekend, it's just not enough.
If someone were to turn this building into housing, that wouldn't necessarily be a very appealing over there probably anymore. I know that's, I'm not sure what will happen with this building, but... It's just, I don't know, it's just a single space to me. It's not
yeah,
like...
It's a start, yep.
No, I'm not agreeing with you. I'm telling you, it's a single space that, I mean, if it was like, there's enough space for 4 apartments.
Right.
And you can plumb it more efficiently as far as like cost and electric and all these other things. But it's just like one spot that would be a lot of money.
And who would be in charge of it? Like would the city be the landlord and have to maintain the property and collect rent and...
That'd be a great thing for Wayne Community Housing.
Wayne Community Housing, absolutely, yeah. I think it's a great example of what could be done in an older building in downtown.
I would not want to live there with weddings going on every weekend and basketball tournaments in the...
That'd be a great place to live, wouldn't it?
I can think of a couple other second stories of downtown buildings that should be renovated and redone.
We don't own them.
I agree.
It's a project that we could always give to the CRA to do.
Has everybody here seen it?
Not in person, just pictures.
So the pictures, photos, what's on it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a very personal experience if you go. Just the smells and the stairway up and the air conditioning compressor in the room.
You make it sound so lovely. I'm with you. Like, if it was more than one space, I feel like it might be a different story, but it's one space.
It's a downtown older building. It would be, again, I think it's a great example of, look what we can do to an older building and renovate it.
Courthouse?
Yeah.
Can somebody of our size walk up those stairs without having to turn?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been up there. I don't know, I'm just saying.
With it being a government building, would it have to be handicapped, would you have to have?
ADA accessible.
I'm just, I mean, I even.
The issue is, it's a long-term planning goal.
Yeah.
Is it something we're gonna do in the next couple of months? No. Even if it is, if it's still on our long-term planning, it's just on our radar. Doesn't mean that we're doing something today. We don't even have prices to do anything. We haven't even looked at how much it would cost.
The CRA talked about this a lot, and they finally took it off of their agenda because they said, we don't even own this building, we'd have to get the blessing of the city. And so I think the CRA, if you said CRA, at least put it on back on your, on the burner, they would keep talking about it. But they've said, they've got to look for grants. It would all be grant funded. It would not be cash funded unless there's, you know, obviously a match of some kind, so.
Jill, it's obvious you're very passionate about it, and if that's the case, let's leave it on there.
I have gone to Hastings, for example, and have seen their downtown housing and what they've done. It's just incredible. And I think it would be lead as a good example for what other building owners could do, and we should encourage that.
Well, I mean, if that, it's obvious you're very passionate about it, and if that's the case, you know, if we can, I wouldn't say assist, but it's like nudge some of the property owners or building owners that have second floors that, you know, to be honest, should be renovated, you know.
Yeah.
Have the opportunity to be rented out, because there's some large spaces that are just being unused. And it's obvious that there are people that enjoy living in those type of spaces. And I'm not saying that, you know, we provide a grant or, you know, something, but, you know, maybe assist in a low interest loan, something like that, you know, some type of an assistance to, it's like, all right, well, please do something, you know, because there's a need for it.
Yes, there is a need for it. And like so, I said, the CRA has said, well, it's not our building. I mean, the CRA doesn't, the city owns that aside from the CRA, so they're not interested in doing anything until they get the blessing from city council.
If you did something like that and rented it out, would you then owe property taxes on it?
I don't think so.
Because it's not income producing property.
I don't think so.
I don't know. And I don't know if that would be something, if that would be a loop job where you would contact those, because, you know what, I can think of just two off the top of my head that, okay, do you have any intentions? You know, what are your plans here? You know, there's a need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if we come up with something, it's like, okay, this is what, you know, the city can offer, the CRA can offer to assist you in finding that end goal that kind of benefits you and also benefits the city.
What we could also use is if you would go out for a grant of some type to the state, you could say you have multiple properties. You could list this auditorium as one of those properties just so you have three instead of just two, or, you know, that type of thing, and then divvy up the money accordingly. But yeah, just because you leave it on this, on the list, doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's just, it'll stay in conversation.
I wasn't going to say that. I knew that, but I wasn't going to say that.
Sorry, I'm blunt.
I will introduce resolution 2024-25 and move for approval.
Second.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Roll call. And I'll vote yes. And the resolution has passed. Item number 8 is Resolution 2024-26, amending the interlocal agreement with the second class city of Laurel, Nebraska for water wastewater services previously approved on March 5th, 2024.
Okay, well, we thought this might happen. They've made good strides, and Casey, you can talk to any of this. We told Mayor Knutson he didn't need to be down here tonight. We met with the mayor and Dan Kuhlman, the administrator, economic development person up there. They've hired a couple of people. They are trying to get certified in both water and sewer. It's going to take a little while for them. Things have been going well. We haven't spent a lot of time up there, but I had told them early on that if we have to renew this thing, we're going to add more to it. And so we're suggesting to amend it to another 90 days, but to increase the rate from $60 to $75 an hour and the off hours from 120 to 150, so we double that. Just so they have an incentive to keep moving forward because they need to be on their own. So, do you have anything to add, Casey, on how things are going?
No, I mean, Ryan took his water test again for the second time just yesterday. Hopefully he passes it this time. He missed it by one last month.
Ryan, that's a Laurel employee.
He's their superintendent right now. Hoping that he passes his water test and I can move into more of a consultant role with him to go up and help him out with a couple things here or there or just do it over the phone. We know we're going to have to do a sewer. I would guess we're going to do sewer almost the rest of the year unless it takes a lot to get that test passed, and it's just the reality of it. That test is about a 25-30% pass rate right now, so he needs time to take it. And it's like there's only like 3 or 4 of them offered a year too. So, but if we can just get the water stuff moved away, that'll be less of our time to help with sewer.
So I should have looked at this ahead of time. How many hours a month have we? I mean, I can tell you we billed them about $1,200 a month.
Yeah, 15-20 usually.
Are you including your time on the phone?
Not, I mean, that's few and far between.
Okay.
It's a 2-3 minute conversation here or there.
Okay.
I mean, I'm billing for time I'm actually sitting down at the computer doing some book work for them, or like today, we're up there helping them with some sampling water and wastewater and going through the backflow program and stuff like that. So we bill them for that stuff. I don't worry about the phone calls.
Okay.
Do you feel like they're making good progress, though? Like they're moving forward and there will be a light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're trying very hard. You gotta give them some credit for that. It's just these two guys that are working there right now got a lot dumped on them.
Yep.
And they were kind of giving them a short stick. So.
We're not losing money on this.
No. We're not making a lot of money, but we're breaking even better than breaking even.
Todd and I went up one day and helped them get the pool going, and that was, I think it's going well. They have a new heater that they put in, and they just needed some help getting everything hooked up and getting it going. I went by the other day, and it was nice and clear, and working good for them.
I'll introduce Resolution 2024-26 and move for approval.
We got a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion on this agreement? Roll call. And I'll vote yes, and the resolution has passed. Item number 9, discussion, update, direction on the Community Activity Center roof.
So this was an item that we've been talking about for over a year to get something done with it. We've had some patch work done. They've chased the leaks around a little bit, still leaking. Kind of depends on which way the wind is blowing, how much we have leaks. A month ago it was really bad, and we have probably 8 buckets sitting around, and then just this last rain, you said you didn't see anything.
No, Todd said if there was, there might have been one spot. That's just kind of weird. I don't know if it's something to do with the way the wind's blowing and pushing it underneath something that's making it leak. And
But like he said, Todd's, they chased it around too. It might be out on this side and all of a sudden they'd end up on this side. And then we'd have the guy come back and kind of patch another area and we'd think we'd have it and all of a sudden it'd be over here. So I just think we're probably gonna have to put a new layer over the top and be done with it to fix the problem.
So we were waiting to see kind of how the vote went with activity center stuff, because I think the mayor had said, you know, let the school deal with it if they're going to ultimately own this facility, if in case they want to add on to it or whatever. Dr. Lanahan has said they're not, if they acquire it at some point, they're not going to add on to it. They just want a good roof on it. So it doesn't matter who owns it. It needs to be, it needs to not leak. So last fall, we had an estimate of about $175,000. And so we're just looking at, do you want us to keep pursuing, or do you want us to pursue to work on some specs to get out to some people for bidding? Where would that money come from? We've got about 109 or so in a CAC reserve fund that was set up when the CAC was built 20 years ago for these types of things. And then I would suggest we use the rest out of like a Keno fund to finish the rest of it. But, you know, likely wouldn't be done now until late summer, early fall. But just kind of a little direction on that, if you guys say move forward or...
So I know at one point, I don't know which estimate or whatever, but it was this spray-on stuff that when you do it, it's hard to undo. We were looking at something other than that, right? Or...
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Because I think we discussed this before. It's been years probably, or a year or something, that... That's good as long as it lasts, but then to do something, if that leaks, it's really expensive, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the buildings that you guys have has a spray on over the top, right? Your storage building. And that covers all your screw holes, all your, I mean, so if you ever need to take it off from at that point, and I think you've got a mess on your hands.
But
these guys want, I think they want to leave the steel on.
Yep.
They want to put, you know, of course you have your ribs.
Right.
So they want to fill in between the ribs and then put the brand new roof right over the top.
Gotcha. Okay.
Brand new roof.
The way I think it was guaranteed, wasn't it?
So brand new roof as in new metal roof?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it would be, I don't know what type of membrane they would use. I don't exactly know what that would be. That's what we'd have to spec out. We have to give them that.
A membrane over the metal.
Yeah, that was my understanding. But again, that was early conversation. We just need to know, do you say, get a new roof on that thing? Which is really funny that the pitched roof is what's leaking. And they went up and did an assessment on the rest of it. And they said, it looks actually pretty good, the flat roof. So.
Didn't we one time have a new roof budgeted for the CAC? I was thinking that one time, you know, we knew it was going to be replaced.
We may have thrown some money in for repairs, but I don't know if we ever did it for the full new roof. So.
Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's leaked for how many years?
Quite a few.
Yeah. Like, you know, 5, 6. I mean, we've had some major water damage. And it came from the garage door on the north side.
Yeah.
Most of it. But
which made the floor all cupped and
on the track.
It needs to be replaced someday too, in which you don't want to do your floor until you make sure you get exactly your water problem fixed first. Yeah. So you almost have to start at the top and work your way down.
Which we kind of did the opposite, and we've taken care of the rest of all the water issues, the sprinklers, the downspouts, and the everything else. And that all worked out really well. You did a really good job with making sure that
there used to be water in the holes of the sleeves for the volleyball post full of water.
I agree. We need to fix the roof.
Get it done.
Okay. Well, we'll put some specs together and.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned Keno funds.
Mm-hmm.
That for sure. Just asking, making sure that's because we've always used like Keno funds for like new park equipment and things like that.
Not always.
So. Yeah, are you asking? Can we use it or like
just,
the law
I just
or?
Make sure that we can use it. For
community betterment is what the law says.
Okay,
so whatever you say community betterment is.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because the CAC sign.
The The CAC sign, half of the sign was used, that was the first Keno money we ever spent.
Playground equipment is just an example of what it was, yes, and I do remember the tax sign, we did, used funds for that.
Yep. Lowell, you used it for, you used it for part of the batting cage?
Batting cages, yep. And that was, well, we did the concrete ourselves, but that's still $50,000.
Sizable, so, yeah, you, it's very loose what you can use those funds for. It's a matter of what you guys prefer to use it for. If you don't use that, then you're using sales tax for it or something else, yeah. Okay, so no, that's, I think, good enough head nodding, and we'll move forward with getting some estimates out there.
Okay. Item number 10, discussion, update, direction on the Prairie Park bathhouse.
You want to take that, Lowell? And so, well, we're at a point where we didn't want to bring this to you until we knew what we were going to get from the NRD. So thank you, Jill and Jason, for sealing the deal the other night on that Kayla and I couldn't do. So we received an allotment of $150,000 from the NRD. $50,000 for over 3 years, but at least we know we're going to get those funds coming in. So the bathroom, the bathhouse, shower house that we've talked about is about a $400,000 building. We've been talking about it for 2 to 3 years, and I think that price is about the same. That's through Sourcewell, so that's not really a negotiable type amount. I mean, you can go out for bids for things, but your Sourcewell funds are usually, or your Sourcewell bids are usually about the best. The one we've been looking at, and I sent this to you, I think, last night, it's got 4 showers and 2 bathrooms.
I kind of got the drawing. Is that
right? I can pull it up.
Do you send that drawing to
them? I do, and I have it here, too, if we want to look at it. Well, what it looks like.
I need the email.
Did anybody else get an email?
I don't think so.
Did you get an email later last night?
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
3D model on their website.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the purpose of this, and we kind of alluded to it with the camper hookups and stuff. How do you make the camper area even nicer? Well, to offer showers and restrooms right there for your campers, your trail users, your ball players, your lake users, that type of thing. Now there's a lot of different models where you can have a bathroom within, the shower is within the bathroom. It could be a smaller footprint than this, but we also were looking at, this would be for growth down the future, you know. I even talked to Joel about this too. I said, you know, you can do 2 smaller ones or to put a small one in now, but then you're running infrastructure to another building. You're cleaning 2 buildings instead of one. I mean, so there's something to be said to have 1 larger building maybe, even though it's a lot of money to swallow up front. You guys had a meeting with some builder as well, and what was their comment? Well, on that.
When they saw we showed the plans and they were going to look at stick building, when they heard the price that we could buy it made out of concrete instead of stick built, they said they couldn't even stick build it for that price, and we're getting solid concrete.
It's crazy.
This would not be a FEMA rated building, but it would still be better than in a tent or a camper.
On the website, the wind levels are for an EF3 tornado, and you don't very often in Nebraska have a tornado above an EF3.
We have.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we
right,
have.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see less than 90% are 3 or lower.
And still, I'd rather be in this place than a tent or a camper. So, anyway, just some discussion on that. Again, I didn't want to bring it to you guys until we had some funding secured there. I also sent out kind of other things we're looking at for funding. I actually had a foundation call me this morning to in. About if we had any projects that we could submit to them. I said, yes, we do.
Oh my God.
And so, yeah, the Walter Scott Foundation. So, you know, we're looking at little places like that. I've got information from the Gardner Foundation. I have that application on my desk. So, you know, won't be a lot of money, but we'll apply for all those. And then we obviously have a big one out there, $1.3 million, that we've had a letter of intent to apply, or we've sent that in, and the district is helping us with that one. Incredibly competitive, but you gotta try it.
Mm-hmm.
So those would all come through. We'd finish that thing up, but.
The other comment on the sizes, building code says 7 square feet of area for people to stand, and so like I was doing some rough dimensions, figuring half the building's usable for standing in versus the hallways or fixtures, that should be able to get 83 to 84 people in it. So if you figure 4 per camper pad, that's 68, so that gives you a little extra. There's some people using the lake and the trail in that area that come to the same site, so that's the other consideration. You go too much smaller, you won't even get everybody in the campground necessarily into that building if you need to.
I'm going to throw this out there. I'm not sure we need 4 shower stalls, because most people that have campers, and if it's full hookup, they have showers in their campers. That, I don't know, what do you think, Lowell? It just seems a little, I mean, were you thinking softballers were going to maybe?
Yeah, there's nowhere really, unless you go to the CAC or the truck stop, to take a shower in the city of Wayne.
Yeah.
And I just thought maybe with a softball tournaments, and I'm looking down the road too, and when these new fields get built and you start doing bigger tournaments, I just figured 4 was going to cover us down the road rather than just do 2 now and then have to buy another one or do something down the road.
Can I make a comment?
Just to get these delivered is $40,000, because they set them with a crane. And so by the time you pay trucking and the crane comes in and sets everything.
Okay.
That's the only reason.
I just have a question on it. So you'd have to go in on the one side to go to the bathroom and then walk out and all the way around the building to go take a shower. And then if you wanted to get ready and brush your teeth, you have to come out and come all the way back around the building then to get ready.
Do that in the shower.
Huh?
Brush teeth.
I'd put my makeup on in the shower.
Well, you might have.
Shouldn't there be like an access to a toilet close to the shower? I mean, you have to come all the way outside and.
Yeah, there's good and bad with that.
I don't like
the moisture level.
When somebody else is sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
No, I get it, but just even like a cluster or something, otherwise.
Yeah.
It's a privacy issue, Amy, because otherwise you have to restrict the shower so nobody else is coming back and forth.
That's
the idea of it.
Yeah, and the other thing too, I think, is it's crazy how much moisture is in some of those bathrooms that have the showers right there. I mean, I walk in and my glasses fog up. I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah.
Where I was thinking with this, probably keeps that bathroom a little more clear as far as the amount of moisture. But it is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I would agree. I feel like I've been to some campgrounds and 4 showers seems like a lot.
I think it is, but
just
take one of them and make it up. At the end, and make it up.
Yeah. And you know, I know you, I get it that there's going to be certain times that every shower is going to be busy. So you just wait your turn. How many times do you go into the campground shower and there's nobody in the shower even?
Keep the bigger bathrooms. Well, what you could do is have 3, and I don't know if you can like kind of change this.
There's no customization. They have models and stuff.
So I wonder, I would kind of like to, you know, want to see the other models.
Yeah, the rest of them don't have showers separately. I think they're all within the bathroom itself. Again, what we liked about this was, again, Sourcewell bid, so we knew that was already vetted.
I like it that it's concrete and that's just a unit that they just bring in. I like that a lot.
Do any of the others where the showers are within, are they more expensive or less expensive?
Depends on size. This is probably one of their larger units. So
this is likely the most expensive.
I think you could knock $50,000 off.
But like that, looking at that Navajo one, I mean, that shower, toilet,
so there's
combo.
There's 4. It's all comboed. Yep. There's 4.
4 units with everything in it.
So that is
That would be an option too.
That's probably true.
They're all options, I mean.
Yeah.
I can, the only thing is, like, part of the discussion, I'm not a camper, but if you've got, I don't know how many camper pads you've done.
Seventeen.
Seventeen, so if, you know, if we have the design like that, where there's only four units, that's four people can use it at once, and that's it. Whereas you've got four separate showers, you've got different toilets, you know, like, more people can use it all at once rather than just four. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if we only have four, someone's gonna be in there in a half an hour, like, they're gonna take a long time.
Right, Amy's put her makeup on, nobody can get the shower.
She go to the softball game, so.
No, I'm just, like, are you thinking, when you're talking about the shower and the toilet in the one area that you walk in and you, like, walk the door, because I've been in a lot of campgrounds where it's like the curtains or something, there's like one, kind of like the cat, I don't know if you've ever been in the women's bathroom at the wellness center.
Not recently.
But you walk in and there's like the bathrooms, and you walk to another area and there's showers on the side, so you can't.
Yeah, no, these would all be individual.
Well, with that being said, there's 17 campers there, and they all have their own restroom, so how many people do we need to give a toilet for?
Yeah, but, I mean.
There's three toilets.
Everyone's different, though, some people's like, yeah, I've got a toilet in my camper, I'm not using it if I don't have to.
But there's only 17.
It's the same thing with a shower.
Yeah.
Because it's more things to clean, things like that.
But you've got, in the one that we looked at, there's three toilets in the women's, there's two toilets and a urinal in the men's, that's kind of, that's a little overkill for 17 campers.
Then you're talking about tent camp, and.
Yeah, they'll.
Well, and ball field, I mean, or, you know, tournaments, same time people are camping, or you got people walking around the lake or fishing or doing whatever, I mean, there's, you can't make it big enough for the, when everybody wants to use it, so you gotta just settle on a size and say this is how, what we're gonna offer.
Just trying to save some money.
Yeah, we can price check things, we just wanted to get it out and say, okay, this is, we need to start making this decision, because this is the next big one that we really need to do.
I think the bridge is supposed to be here in August, and so that crane would have to come in there and set that bridge in that area, and so once that's done, then they wanna come through with the trail too, and so they'll leave a section of trail out if he does some of it around the lake this summer, but I know he doesn't plan on doing it all, because just because of the heavy equipment that needs to come in and set that bridge. And then that same area is where this bathroom would need to go.
Do we know what the lead time on this is?
For these?
Didn't we think it was 4 to 6 months?
Yeah, I think
So you're probably not, you're not looking until spring or summer of next year to have this thing set, but. And by then we may know a little more with funding as well, and grants and different things, but.
We've had a lot of internal discussion staff about, just not the campground, but this could be the center of, I mean, you have a huge area down there that if you have a large community festival, it's Halloween chicken show down there someday, do you have big concerts that, you know, it's not just the campers using those bathrooms, it's the people that are across the way setting up blankets and bag chairs or whatever. And as far as the campers, even that, you see a lot now that is these downsized campers that don't have restrooms in them, because their little SUV can pull that, usually they don't have to have a big four-wheel drive SUV. So you see a lot of that becoming a fad too, of people downsizing. So those, to have those bathrooms and have that many people can be serviced at a time, can be a little attraction to your community to get people to come to your events and stuff too.
I just think the more people that a building can handle at once, you know, for toilets, showers, things like that, I think we would be better off. Yes, there's some uniqueness to it, where it is, like what Amy discussed, we got a bathroom here, we got to walk all the way around, just get a shower and then go back, you know, for a mirror or whatever you do. So I don't think everything, I mean, the only perfect plan is if we stick build it.
Yeah.
And if we stick build it, I mean, could we even get that for $500,000?
No, I like these units.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can discuss the design.
Yeah. Clayton just mentioned the safety issue, and I was just thinking about that myself, because a lot of campgrounds where they just have like a curtain that you draw or whatever, they're a little suspect in regard to like, you know, I don't know, I just always think I wouldn't want my wife going in there or whatever, or my kids or whatever. But this is lockable where you have your own shower. I think that's a selling point for me, even if it's not connected to anything else. Just for safety reasons, liability, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of getting sold on the separate part of it. Because I think the benefits outweigh the detriments.
We could always have the committee stool the cool committee.
Yes, and they will. Yeah. They will, but again, I thought it was a short agenda so we could throw this on.
I know.
And since the NRD thing just came through, I thought it was good timing to just get in front of
you. So if we can't get this going in a timely manner, are we going to arrange portable things down there so we can start using the campground at least for,
yeah,
send them over to your shop or what?
I mean, we can bring out
this kid in the book.
We can bring out handicap.
Yeah.
And a bigger.
Yeah, just, I mean, in case there is some tenders or some small camper folks to get started down there.
Hastings put in a new one like this in a park that they remodeled, and they even have, you can get anything you want on these. I mean, you can dress them up. That's the whole list of add-ons for the whole.
Don't show Jill that.
Keep it.
See him on that committee.
The doors automatically lock at 9 o'clock at night. And for vandalism and stuff.
Are these kind of the same people that came up with the bathroom house that they put out by the horse arena at the fairgrounds?
I don't know about that.
That was stick built. Yeah, that was stick built.
Is it? It's all concrete.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they did.
If you go to some of the NRD's recreation areas, these are typically what's in there.
Yeah.
Like Pierce has these and Stantonville.
So are we good to go forward with a
bathhouse? Yeah, well, yeah, we're not ordering it tomorrow, but we'll...
I can do some more investigating for you and get some other...
Updated pricing.
Yeah.
Okay, item number 11 is an announcement. There will be a town hall meeting on Thursday, June 6th at 5:30 p.m. at the Freedom Park Shelter House. This will be to review community responses to the attitude survey.
And...
The attitude, is that in regards to the Prairie Park film?
No, so the community attitude survey that we did about a month or 2 months ago, that is something the district suggested we do. It helps you with CDBG funding. We're likely going to be going after a $400,000 grant this fall for Prairie Park Public Works grant. And so this is kind of a first step. You have to do this. We hadn't done it for, the last time we did it, we were actually up in that building, Freedom Park, when we were looking at what to do with that site up there. So come full circle. So yeah, if you plan to attend, let Betty or I know, and we'll probably try to keep you to 3 to 4 of you, so we don't have to advertise a meeting. And yeah, I sent you the comments, so you can take a look at that. Those are some fun things to read sometimes on what people have to say.
Yeah.
And they'll go through some of that stuff on Thursday night.
We are adjourned.
I need your signature on stuff.
Okay. I need your signature.